stand, please. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. You've been faithful and true through good times and bad. And please just forgive us for doubting you when we haven't even seen your hand at work, or for believing you're too distant to care or too weak to act. Just open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to the glory of what you are about. Amen. Good morning. Let's take a few minutes just to greet those around us.
Let everything that, let just praise the Lord. Praise in the morning, praise in the evening, praise when I'm young and when I'm old. Praise when I'm laughing, praise when I'm grieving, praise in every season of the soul. If we could see how much you're worth, the power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise. Praising you forever and a day. Praise on the earth now, join with creation, calling our nations to your praise. If you could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise. Everything that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath praise the Lord.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true that it's my joy to honor you. And all I do, I honor you.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you.
Amazing love, how can it be?
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. And all I do, I honor you. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. In all I do, I honor you.
Please remain standing.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the season of Christmas. God, we thank you so much for this musical production that will be happening in a few weeks. Father, we pray that this musical would touch the lives of many who come. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal yourself to them. Father, we just thank you so much for Reverend Joseph, who will be speaking today. Father, I pray that you would just fill him with your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would give him words to share. Father, I pray that our hearts would be softened and that your Holy Spirit would reveal new things to us this morning. Father, we pray for those in our church who are not well. We pray for physical healing and mental healing. God, we pray that your healing hands would just be placed upon them. Father, we also pray for our international worker who is returning to the Creative Access area. Father, we just lift this person up to you, and we pray for safety for them this week as they return to this country. We pray that you would lead their steps, God, that you would go before them. We pray that their faith would be increased, and we pray that they would continue to rely on you. Father, we thank you for your promises that you give us. We thank you that you are the one who gives us endurance and encouragement, and in your power, you give us the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, we may glorify you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm here this morning just for a special announcement regarding to the Mandarin congregations. On October 6th, I received an email sent from the senior pastor from Coquitlam Mandarin Church, the Reverend Titus Lim, addressed to me and BAC Elder Board. I will briefly summarize the main points. Dear Reverend Alvin Poon and Elder Board of BAC, our church has have been searching for a pastor for a couple years without success, especially when a few days ago, Pastor Yang, who is still in his probation period, resigned from the ministry due to his wife unable to depart from her serving church. This sudden change has cast us into chaos and without a leader. Bernie Balance Church is our close neighbor, and we know Reverend Thomas Sun well. At this critical juncture of our church board took the liberty to ask your assistance by inviting Reverend Sun to take up the associate pastor role of our church, Coquitlam Mandarin Church. I know this request certainly will cause difficulties to your church, considering Reverend Sun must have much concern about his ministry at BAC. We are really reluctant to make this request if it is not a matter of urgency. We earnestly hope that your church can allow Reverend Sun and his wife, Wendy, to minister to our congregation with minimal disruption to your Mandarin ministry. On the same evening, I replied to Reverend Lim. I understand your urgent situation and needs, and deeply sympathize with you. BAC is willing to support and provide helping hands for your needs. However, whether Reverend Sun is willing to move on and serve at Coquitlam Mandarin Church, BAC will fully respect his own decision. I am willing to explain your church urgent needs to the Elder Board. Also, I will communicate with Reverend Sun next week. These two emails were sent and addressed to both Reverend Sun and also the district assistant superintendent, Reverend Kapak Chen. After the initial meeting with Pastor Sun and Reverend Kapak Chen, I have reminded Pastor Sun that he should not base his decision on Kokulam Mandarin Church urgent needs. Instead, he should ask for clear calling from God before moving on to this ministry. Without that confirmation from God, he should not haste to make a move. And praise to the Lord, he has spoken to Pastor Sun. Pastor Sun told me and also told the elder board that he has heard clearly clear calling from God, and he also has a strong burden to serve at Kokulam Mandarin Church. When the board heard about this, the board had no reservation but totally support Pastor Sun's decision to serve at CMC and accepted his resignation. The board would like to thank Reverend Sun and Mrs. Sun for their faithful service during the past 16 years of ministry. May the Lord bless them and use them greatly while they are serving at the Kokulam Mandarin Church. Tentatively, the farewell party will be on December 16, 7 p.m. at NPR. You're welcome to join. It will be after the last Christmas musical. This is the only day they can, everybody can attend from the Mandarin side. Hopefully, some of you can also can come and support and say farewell to Pastor Sun and Wendy as well. Okay, please pray for them as well. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Just want to welcome you here to BAC. If you're new with us, we welcome you here. This morning, I get to introduce to you guys and welcome to the stage my friend Joe Chan. Joe is an associate pastor for the English ministry at Westwood Alliance Church. And he's just here because he's a friend of mine, so I asked him to come, and he's here to share with us just a couple of things on his heart. So I'm just going to ask him to come up. Joe also serves as, what's your role at Kaka? Kaka is like it's like the Chinese Canadian Chinese Alliance Church Association. That's what it is.
I am the vice chair of the committee this year. So they send me around to talk to all the English pastors. And right now the biggest thing is looking forward to how to strengthen second generation ministries. So how to help us do our job.
Cool. So Joe's been a friend of mine for several years, and Joe actually just got back from Casablanca. He was on official business with the Chinese Church Association. So if he falls asleep on stage, you know what happened there. Someone can run up and prop him up or something. But anyways, let me pray for you, Joe, and Joe will go from there. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for my friend Joe. I thank you for just the opportunity for us here, Lord, to be here. Gather, Lord, in your name, Jesus, Lord, to hear your word preached. And so, Lord, I pray for Joe right now, Lord, as he preaches your word. I pray that you would empower him by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would speak through him. I pray, Lord, that as he speaks, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would empower his words, that they would cut us to the heart, Lord, and that you would convict us in the places that we need convicting, Lord. I pray that, Lord, your word would be like this mirror that shines us, holds up against us as we look at it, Lord. We see where it is that we fall short, and where it is that we can find our grace, Lord, and where it is we can find hope and restoration, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you speak into our hearts? Would you open us up to more and more of you, God? And I pray that in this place that you would be glorified above all things, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Keith. It's nice to be here. I think this is my first time here in an official capacity. I had come a couple times to visit. The most recent was when we installed Pastor Mark. Mark is one of mine, so it was nice to see him entering ministry for the first time. but this morning, it is a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you. I do apologize if I trip over my words. I'm still jet lagging. My body still thinks it's 9 hours ahead. And I woke up this morning at about 3:30 thinking I was late and then recognized that, nope, everyone's still asleep. The reason I was in Casablanca is related to the message that I want to share with you this morning. We had been invited with, alongside the American Chinese Churches Association, to come down into North Africa to view a potential church planting site. There had been a gathering of Chinese Christians who had started a fellowship in an old Anglican church in Casablanca, and their story was one that was absolutely incredible. Out of nowhere, they got this call, each and individually got this call to come to Casablanca, where, you know, lots and lots of Chinese people are, to start a fellowship. And meeting each and every one of these people, the story starts all the way back 30 years ago, where a gentleman got the call to come to Casablanca to start a business. And then another gentleman did. And then a girl that I met, her name is Chris. For some reason, while she was studying in university in China, decided that she needed to learn French for whatever reason. Who in China needs to learn French? Let's be serious, right? But she learned French and then suddenly got a call to go and work in Casablanca. And story after story, I've met about 30 of these people who had now gathered in this tiny little church, every single one of them called by God to come to Casablanca. And I had to ask the question, what is it that made you give up your life, that you would pack up your families, pack up your children, and move to North Africa, a place where Christianity is not exactly allowed, where the safety of your children is not exactly guaranteed, where you may or may not get permission to start a business. Casablanca is a pretty closed nation. But the curious thing is that in the recent years, the Lord has moved mysteriously and opened up Casablanca, Morocco, for Chinese citizens, either from Taiwan, either from China itself, Singapore, Malaysia, to come into Morocco to set up new businesses and establish a stronger economic base in their city. And it's a crazy thing, because when I was down there, I was meeting with the pastor from Spain who had invited us down to see this church. He told me that in the last year and a half, 50,000 Chinese people had migrated into Casablanca. 50,000. And the stories continue to be told of why. And a lot of them didn't understand. But the Christians that we met, the unified answer was, we felt God calling us to be here. One of the things that the local pastor there, his name was Reverend Soon, one of the things that he told us that he really wanted to do was to reach out to the locals. And this was part of his push for planting a church. It could not just be a Chinese church. It had to also incorporate some sort of way that would reach out to the locals. And I said, oh, that's going to be a hard sell. Because, you know, typically Chinese missions, when we send missionaries out, they go and they reach out to the Chinese people who are there, the Chinese diaspora. It is a very valid and worthy thing to do, but it didn't resonate with him. He wanted the church that was established in Morocco, in Casablanca, to reach out to the locals, to do cross-cultural missions. And that resonated with my heart so much. And I had to ask the question, what makes these people willing to go? This morning I want to speak to you from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 and onward. And this is a story about when the king returns. And the king will return and he will establish himself as the judge and ruler of all. He will separate Over to his left, the sheep, and over to his right, the goats. And this is what the Lord says. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, those you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see a stranger? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to the eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I think this passage is one that really resonates with where we are as a church in this day and age. We have to be aware that this passage is coming shortly after a very, very harsh discussion on talents. If you read back towards the beginning of chapter 25, we have the story of the master who has come, and he has given talents to three of his servants. Two of the servants were faithful with their work. They put it all to work, and then they ended up getting more. One servant, though, was lazy, hid it, put it away. When the master returned, these servants returned to the master all of their investments and all that they had earned, except for the one who had hidden it away, perhaps out of laziness or perhaps out of fear. We don't know. But that passage talks about the motivations of what we do with God has entrusted us with. And following this discussion, we have to ask the question, what is it that God is calling us to be in this world? Because we have this picture of those that are clearly faithful, living on God's right hand, where he has been fed and clothed and cared for. And for their faithfulness, they will be rewarded eternal life. But then we have the goats on the left. On the left, the ones who didn't feed, who didn't clothe, who didn't give. And out of their acts of omission, of not mirroring the charity that the sheep had done, not only were they chastised, they were punished eternally for it. This begs us to ask the question, what is the motivation here? What motivated the faithful to feed and clothe the poor, to visit those who were sick, those who were in prison? Well, if we look back through the history of the Israelite people, all the way back to the mountain of Horeb or Sinai, when God delivered his commandments to Moses, what we have is a story of the giving of God's morals and ethics to his people. And these morals and ethics weren't just rules to tell you this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. They weren't just laws for the sake of being laws. They were actually laws to create an identity for the people of God, to separate them from everybody else, to help us to be able to identify there's something different about these God-fearers, these God-followers, these Christians. There's something different about them. So when we see in Deuteronomy chapter 24 is this. The commandment comes down and says, do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. When you are harvesting in your fields and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that is why I commanded you to do this. As we see here, time and time again, God reiterates, it is our responsibility as the followers of God in this day, the followers of Jesus Christ, to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves, to offer charity to those who need it. It is a pledge that we have to make, that we have to accept as part of our identity as Christ followers. So many times in this world, the actions of Christians do not reflect this old commandment anymore. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, there was a period of time in my life where I was very curious about the dirty old man who lived on the street. I walked by him all the time. Every time that I visited my grandmother in East Van, there was always this dude that lived at the corner of the street in a little shack. And my grandmother would just pull me along and just say, oh, walk faster, walk faster. She was afraid that this man was going to harm us or something. And I always wondered why my grandmother wouldn't help him. As a child, I thought, oh, he looks like he's hungry. Let's help him. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? My grandmother at the time was not a Christian. So I wouldn't expect her to have that kind of mentality. But as I grew up, I continued to see this kind of action from adults that I would meet and respect. Sunday school teachers, even my own parents at times were like, no, we don't give money to these people. And I asked, why not? And they would say, well, because you never know if they're going to like take it to go buy drugs or take it and go buy booze, right? If we're going to help them, we should give our money to the shelter and then they can go there and get their food. And I can understand that kind of mentality and that kind of reasoning. But it never sat well with me. It never sat well with me. What motivated the goats not to give, not to clothe, not to care? Could it have been a selfless, I earned this, this is mine? Yes, it very well could have been. I really do believe that there are plenty of people out there who say the very words, no, this is mine, I earned it. They should go get a job, earn their own. I can understand that kind of mentality. I really do. For those who do not follow Jesus Christ, for those who do not have a heart of charity, I really get it. You earn what you get. You get what you earn. If you don't work for it, you don't get it. That's a very common way to perceive things, right? But at the same time, though, it might not be this kind of mentality why people do not give. It could be, and this is a warning for us here in the church, a warning for us who are Christ followers. It could very well be that we've become too busy, that we have put on blinders that have caused us to not see with the eyes that God has. It's so easy for us to be so concerned about our needs and our own responsibilities. I know what it's like to live in Vancouver. I grew up here my whole life. That's not true. I was born in Calgary. Calgary? No, he's from Saskatchewan. Never mind. I was born in Calgary. We came here when I was about 5.5 years old. My family immigrated in 1928. So we've been here forever. My mom and dad relocated to Calgary to make a better life, because back then it was a good place to be. And then we came back. When I was 5.5 years old, we moved back to BC, and I've been here my whole entire life. I got busy about going to church, going to Sunday school. Eventually, when I was old enough, I joined the children's choir. I joined the worship team. Eventually, I went to Bible school, played some volleyball there, joined one of the worship teams, met my wife, got married, started ministry, got busy. Then we had kids. Then it was really busy. Then we moved here, and the mortgage that we had tripled. And I had this incredible burden of taking care of our three kids. So difficult. I can understand how quickly you become busy trying to pay bills, running kids to and from, taking care of elderly parents. I can understand how the requirements of entering university no longer just determine by your marks, but you also have to have your clubs and your volunteer involvement. I can understand how busy you get when you engage in a relationship and you want to spend time with your significant other. But at the same time, you have to be at home doing your chores, doing your projects and work and all of these things. And I understand that. And it's so easy. And then we come to church and we volunteer. Maybe we teach Sunday school. Maybe we've joined the worship team. Maybe we've done this or that. And it's so easy for us to forget that there are still other things out there in the world that we still have to do. Maybe we've become busy and we can't see past just our own lives. I think a lot of us end up in this place. And the warning that we have here in Scripture, though, is that we can't live like this. We can't one day say to Jesus Christ, "Well, I thought I was doing a good thing. I was serving the church." You know, that's the thing, though. When I was serving the church, I never went outside of the church. There was a time in my life where I had zero non-Christian friends, where I had zero interaction with people who were not devoted Christians. And there was something wrong with that, because I lived next to non-Christians. I worked with non-Christians. This is before I was pastoring, right? And there were still so many times where I would forget to consider what they might need from me. I'd walk across the street and I'd see the old dude and wonder, why is he here? Why doesn't he just get a job? It slipped in my head. As I got older, I'd start considering giving to the shelters and stuff like that, and volunteering even. But that's not what God wants from us. God doesn't simply want us to do that. Because I think the way that we give shows a reflection of our heart. You know, Scripture is very clear and says God loves a cheerful giver, right? But it was so easy for me to always want to know, if I give this money to this person, are they going to go and buy booze? Are they going to go and buy drugs? Or are they actually going to go and buy food like they're asking for? It was so easy for me to be judgmental, because I could not see past all the things that were in front of my face that kept me busy. To see that all they really needed was a little bit of charity. And the reason why we should be giving, more willing to, anyways, is because once we give, it's out of our hands. When we offer to the church, when we offer to the homeless shelters, when we give to the guy who's poor, our action isn't to give for the sake of that person or for the church, or for the shelter. Our offerings and our tithes are for God. When we release that money to Him, it's no longer our concern how He allows it to be used. We have to adopt in this mentality that when we give of ourselves, whatever God chooses to do with it, it's His to do with. God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, He sure does. But when we give it, it's no longer ours to care about. Does your boss, if those of you who work salary, does your boss dictate how you spend your Christmas bonus, if you get one? Right? How indignant would you feel if your boss came down and said, here's your Christmas bonus, you can only spend it on Whole Foods. Yep. You gotta buy quinoa. It's all you can buy. You can't buy anything sugar. You can't buy a chocolate bar with it. I would be outright angry. Pastor Paul, it's mine. I want to buy a chocolate bar. Right? We would feel that way. And yet, we try to dictate how, when we give, what people do with that money. So what? Well, the exercise of giving isn't simply just the exercise of giving. I think it goes deeper than that. It comes back down to our perception of things. When we look around this world, when we see the needs around us, do we actually see the needs around us? Or do we just see a bothersome person who's sitting on the street corner? Do we see just people who are addicted to drugs? Oh, why can't they just get help? Well, having worked with people who are addicted, having worked with people who are on the street, who having befriended people, I can tell you it's not that easy. It's not that easy to just pick up and get a job. You can't get a job if you don't have a fixed address. You don't have a fixed address, you can't shower, you can't collect mail, you can't report taxes, right? What do you need for a fixed address? Money. Where do you get money? A job. Well, if you don't have a job, where do you get money? If you don't have money, where do you get to live? Right? It's not that easy. And yet we're so willing, so quickly ready to judge people. Let's not do that. Let's open our eyes to have the greater need and the greater causes that we can give to. If we don't open our eyes, that it's and recognize that it's a complex situation. We are in very much the same danger as becoming the goats. Those that do nothing because we don't see Jesus in it. Let me tell you about a man named Duncan. And Duncan was a man that I bought coffee for regularly for about a year. Every time I went to Starbucks, over in Coquitlam by Pine Tree. It's by the chapters. Duncan would be sitting there. He would be asking for a little bit of change. And every time that I saw him, I'd try to sit down with him and ask his life story. And it wasn't until about 3 months in that I even got his name. Duncan tells me that he can't hold down a solid job because he keeps getting kicked out of his mom's place. And the reason why he keeps getting kicked out of his mom's place is because he keeps drinking. I was like, well, buddy, you gotta stay away from drinking, right? It's easy. Oh, the problem with that is that his mom was a drunk. And she didn't want to change, even though Duncan wanted to. And so he would fall into the spiral of repetitive behavior that he could not break because there was no support for him. So is it his fault? Is it his mother's fault? It's not that easy. But every so often I'll still see him and I still try to witness and give him a little bit of money, give him some food. And he says, "You know what? You're different." And I said, "How so?" And he said, "Yeah, you're the only person who's ever asked me my story." Not saying this to brag, not saying this, but my question is, how many of us, when we have done ministries, street ministries, gone down to the UGM, Union Gospel Mission, when we've done sandwiches, how many of us have just said, "Here's a sandwich for you, Jesus loves you," right? I've been there. How many of us have sat down and said, "Hi, my name's Joe. What's your name? Will you share this meal with me? Tell me about yourself." How many of us have done that? If you have, great. That is what Jesus Christ did. And it's a crazy thing to think that Christians would actually act how Jesus Christ did. Crazy. Mind-blowing. But we have to be willing, first and foremost, to look past ourselves. We have to give of our heart to Jesus, our willingness to serve, our willingness to follow. And why would we do this? Well, this is where we find it in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 14 says this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, no actions? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, be well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not your father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scriptures were fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." It's so nice that we want to say that we're Christians, that we love God, and that we're people of charity. But the reality is, to be Christ followers, to be Christians, little Christs, reflections of Him, we actually have to reflect Him. The way that He was willing to sit with sinners, the way that He was willing to minister to them, to administer His love, wasn't just to become popular, wasn't just to do the right thing. It was to bring them hope for the future, to bring them hope that there would be something more, that there would be the final restoration, to bring them the gospel, the good news of forgiveness from sins. Jesus Christ, by his words and by his actions, continued to be the example that we have to be. If our actions do not reflect him, if our attitudes do not reflect him, if our words do not reflect him, then my question for you is, why are we even here? Is this a nice little club for us to be at? Great. Is it a nice place to meet people? Sure. But that's not the reason why we gather. We gather because we are Christians, Christ followers. And so let me leave you with this. If we are going to be Christians, if we are going to follow Christ, If we want to be more like him each and every day, then our actions and our words must follow his example. The way that we see people has to be through the eyes of Jesus Christ, the way that he cares for them, despite how they look on the outside, seeing that they were created by God in the first place. Creatures that were given life by the Heavenly Father. And in so being, the reflection of God himself. Reflecting God as we see in Genesis chapter 1. The image of God implanted in each and every one of those persons gives them an inherent worth. A worth that is far beyond anything that we could imply or that they could earn from us. Simply for the fact that they reflect God, we should respect them. We should care for them. We should love them. Because Jesus Christ did. Let's take off our blinders. Let's not omit any actions that could help. You may never know what your dollar does, but that's not for you to know. That's for God to use. God's concern is that you will be faithful in what you do with your money, with your time. There are so many things that we as Christians want to do, and we make these great plans over and over again. When I'm ready, I'm going to go on missions. When I'm ready, I'm going to go serve in the soup kitchen. When I'm ready, I'm going to make a huge donation. But the fact of the matter is, the reality is, great things planned aren't nearly as meaningful and impactful as small things that are done. It might be a dollar out of your pocket. It might be 20 minutes of your time to have a conversation. But you never know if that conversation is going to save somebody's life. You never know if that dollar is going to feed them that day or get them into the shelter for the night. You don't know. And you don't have to. All you have to do is be willing to be used by God in your words and in your deeds. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for this congregation, my brothers and sisters here at Burnaby Alliance Church. I pray that you would be with them as they head into the Christmas season. As we look and celebrate the aspects of Advent, the coming of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would truly show in our hearts, in our words, and in our actions, the hope that Jesus Christ brings, the peace that you offer, the joy that you can bring us, the love that comes through knowing Jesus. Lord Jesus, make us more like you every day. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
At this time, I'll ask the prayer teams to come up. They're available for anybody, whether it be a prayer item or a praise item. I'd like to encourage you all to make use of them. They're in the corners and upstairs. Thanks, Pastor Joe. Especially the reminder that Jesus is present in everybody, and we should be treating people that we see as if they were Jesus. Let's sing our next song. It's called "Open Our Eyes, Lord."
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him.
us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Let's see this once more time. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him. And say that we love him. And say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Let's stand up, rise, and sing our next song. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone. Darkness seems, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he made come, Lord of all. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone. Storm, he is Lord, Lord of. Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Seeing with God's eyes can mean quite a few different things. On the one hand, maybe we're very proud of ourselves, and God reminds us that, basically gives us a reality check, and as Pastor Joe was describing. But on the other hand, perhaps we're struggling, and God tells us that with Him, we can actually overcome anything. This next song speaks to that. It's called "You Say," and if you know it, please sing it with us. If you don't know it, it's actually pretty easy. You can still sing with us or just meditate on the words.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am. Because I need to know. Oh, you say I belong when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I say I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours, and I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe
the only thing that matters now is everything you think of me.
Believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe you're taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have it.
Remain standing.
Let's continue our time of worship together as we go into a time of offering, worship through offering and giving. I'm going to ask the sisters to come forward, and as I pray, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that God, you are so good to us, Lord. Lord, and everything that we have, Lord, is a gift from you. That everything we have belongs to you. Nothing belongs to us, Lord. Everything's a gift. And so that I pray, Lord, that as we go into this time of giving, we thank you so much for the message of from Pastor Joe, Lord, and your word to us, Lord, that in our generosity, Lord, we are reflecting your generosity to us, Lord. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, for us, Lord, this morning, that we would be cheerful givers, that we would give with glad hearts, entrusting that God, whatever we give, Lord, your will will be, your purposes would be made known, Lord, through our generosity. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that whatever happens in these next few moments, Lord, let it be an offering of worship to you, God. We thank you so much, Lord, and we pray once again that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. You guys can have a seat. Just a couple of things I want to point out to you guys in the announcements. First thing, thank you so much, Pastor Joe, for coming to us, speaking to us this morning. I know he looks like he just graduated from high school, but believe me, he's on the brink of middle age. So thank you so much for your word to us. There's wisdom behind a lot of his words that he said, right? I'm just helping you, giving you some credibility, man. Couple of things in the announcements or the bulletin I want to point out to you guys this morning. There's a joint prayer meeting that's coming up December the 10th. That's on a Monday night. That's in about 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now. So please come up to that. And once again, I think Pastor Kim pointed out the theme of it is hunger. And so it's really really us as a congregation or as a church, an entire church, all three congregations coming together, really trying to seek the Lord and really desiring more of God in our lives and how for Him to work in our church. There's a child dedication service coming up as well, December the 9th. If you have a child that you wanted to dedicate, you as a family want to dedicate yourselves to raising up your child in the ways of the Lord, please come talk to me today. I have a form for you to fill out, and we'll get you set up with that. Also, next weekend, there's a couple of Christmas musical promotion things that we're going to be doing. We're going to be meeting up next weekend in the church lobby, distributing invitations to all our neighbors. And so if you want to be a part of that, so you can register with Pastor Jacob, or you can just show up on those times. The times are listed in the bulletin. Rest of the announcements, I will leave for you guys to read and peruse on your own. Let's just stand together and we'll finish off as I give you this benediction. Let's pray together, and then pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great week. Come join us for coffee upstairs. We'll see you guys next time.